Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And Bob Christopher, it's good to be back in the studio with you after Christmas. Hope you and your family had a wonderful celebration of the Lord's birth.
We did have a wonderful celebration together. Started a new tradition, had all of Gina's family at our house for both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And it was wonderful to get up on Christmas morning and read the Christmas story out of the book of Luke. That's something my dad did every single Christmas morning. And it's a tradition that I've carried on. And it's a wonderful time just to recognize that we are gathering together as a family to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. We ran parallels this Christmas because I had all of my family, with the exception of my grandson Bobby, who had to work this Christmas. And guess what I read? The Lord's birth out of the book of Luke.
Out of the book of Luke. That's right.
And
that's
wonderful. And I could hardly get through. You know, for some reason, that passage of Scripture and the recording of his birth just gets to me for some reason. I could hardly get through it.
Yeah, it is. It is quite the story, to think that God became one of us in Jesus. It's the most powerful story, and the fact that he inhabited that body to take it to a cross, to offer it as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin so that we could have everlasting life. That's the gospel story, so that God could be with us, so that we could be with God, so that that relationship that was lost in Adam could be restored in Christ. Yeah. That is the good news of the gospel, and that's why we celebrate the birth of Christ. That's what got the ball rolling as far as the gospel story is concerned, and really that gospel story is all about Christ. We look oftentimes at the Christianity side of it. What's in it for me? And there's certainly a lot in it for us.
Yes.
But the story is really about Jesus. Jesus is God's gift to mankind. And as I am talking today, I think about my good friend Mary Louise Heck Sewer. That was her one desire, one passion in life, was to know Christ. And that passion entered her heart at a young age, in her teenage years, and was fully realized on Christmas Eve when she went to be with the Lord. She had a battle with a rare form of bone marrow cancer, and she suffered immensely there in the last 5 or 6 days before she passed away. I had the opportunity to talk with her before she died, and she said to me, "Bob, I'm ready. I want to meet Jesus. I want to see him face to face." And that was a prayer that she had many, many years ago. And I'm talking about her today because she and Mike have been long friends of mine.
You're right. Yeah.
Back in the 80s when People to People first went on the air, as far as a live radio broadcast, one of the stations we broadcast on was in Louisville, Kentucky. We had such an enormous outpouring of response from people there.
That's right.
We decided, let's start a satellite office. Well, I was the guy picked to go up there and start the office. Well, as soon as we made that announcement, Mike and Mary picked up the phone and said, "We want to make our home available in any way imaginable." So when I first moved there, I actually occupied their basement. Uh-huh. That's where I lived for a period of time. And then they opened up their home for a Bible study. And it was just amazing some of the things that God did through that Bible study. But when I first met Mary, she was bound up with fear. It was kind of interesting. She was a paradox because she knew so much Scripture. I've never met a person that knew or had memorized as much Scripture as she had. But for some reason, it never really sunk deep into her heart to become reality, because she was living in fear of what people would think about her if they really found out some of her past. And it was so I guess, so real, that fear in her, that panic inside of her, that, man, she had to quit her job. She just lived in a 1 mile radius. She had been diagnosed with agoraphobia, and hers is a story of going from fear to faith.
Right. Yeah.
And there was a point in time where she sat down with her family and let them know the truth of what had been going on in her life as a teenager. And when that truth came out and the response of her family, everything just changed. And boy, she became a world traveler. She and Mike went to Maine and to Seattle and Europe and Israel and just all over the place. She became a leader in Bible study fellowship. And her one desire in life was to know Christ. She prayed that over and over and over, Lord, that I may know you. And it's exactly what Paul wrote in Philippians. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Well, she has gained the prize,
yes,
in being face to face with Jesus, absent from the body and present with the Lord. I talked with Mike the day before she passed away, and then the day that she passed away. They are all rejoicing that Mary is in the presence of the Lord. They're glad that she is out of her suffering. They're certainly going to miss her, and they're going to experience a lot of grieving over the next weeks and months and those sort of things. And we certainly ask our listeners to be praying for the Seaward family, a family that ministered to me, a family that impacted my life, a family that has been friends with me for 30-plus years, have prayed for me, have supported me, have prayed for this ministry, have supported this ministry. And when I think of what God has done in my life and how he's directed me and guided me, I thank God for Mike and Mary Seaward, because God used them in a very special way in my early years of being in ministry. So, Mike, our heart goes out to you, to Teresa, and to Michael as well, and to the grandchildren. We love you. We thank you for your love, your friendship, and support.
It's wonderful friends, wonderful friends. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. We would love to hear from you on this first edition after Christmas. And if you would like to pose a question, or you have some particular topic you'd like to add to the conversation, we would love for you to do that right now. The number 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Plenty of time, plenty of open lines. Give us a call now. In the meantime, Bob, a question from Teresa. This is her question surrounds the passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:34. She says, "Ever since I've fallen in love with Jesus, I cannot stop talking about him. As a result, I have lost unbelieving friends, which I knew would happen. Lately, also, I see that a couple of pastors I considered friends have also become distant. This I did not expect. In the past, both have expressed to me that no woman should ever be a pastor. One has said women should not even be allowed to teach, knowing that I had taught Sunday school. 1 Corinthians 14:34 has been quoted to me in conversations by one in particular. As I read this verse in context, I believe I understand it because I know Jesus teaches me. He even led me to Galatians 3:28. But the Lord also teaches these wonderful pastors whom I love and respect. Can you explain these verses to me? I know any correction comes directly from the Word and is not based on opinion. When I seek counsel from you, thank you." That's from Teresa, who writes to us through the internet from Wontaw, New York.
Well, I appreciate that question, and certainly there's much talk about the role of men and women within the body of Christ, the role of men and women within marriage. And there are several different passages that, we get stuck on. We wonder, what exactly is Paul trying to tell us in these particular passages? Yeah. And Rome or 1 Corinthians 14 is certainly one of those. But 1 Corinthians 14 is the tail end of Paul's teaching on spiritual gifts. So we have chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, where Paul introduces the subject of spiritual gifts. He introduces it in such a way to show that he's not real happy with the Corinthians on how they are using spiritual gifts. As a matter of fact, they are abusing the gifts. They are placing some as more important than others, particularly the gift of tongues. And so their abuse is causing great confusion within the body of Christ, and particularly when the body assembles together. Everybody wanted to show off their gift of speaking in tongues. So it was just this chaotic confusion, disorderly service. And so Paul is writing to bring order back to their assembly. And that's what he says in verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 14. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So that is the real issue here, to show that God truly is a God of peace, not a God of disorder. He's not a God of chaos. He's not a God of confusion. That's not who our God is. He speaks very plainly about the person and work of Jesus Christ, and that through faith in him, we can have peace in our own lives. That's the message. It's very clear. It's very plain. Well, the body of Christ there in Corinth was making a mockery of that order and peace that characterizes the very God that they were worshiping. So Paul jumps on them and says, listen, guys. And a part of his encouragement had to do with women and all the congregations of the saints. Women should remain silent in the churches. Well, why does he say that? Because obviously the women were speaking in tongues and bringing some disorder at that particular time. So I think it was a specific admonition to the folks at Corinth at that particular time. It's not something that we should say women can't teach, because that would be a lie. Women can teach.
Certainly,
and women
do
teach, and women can be some of the best teachers around. And so it's not saying that there should never be a woman who ever teaches. It's just saying, hey, if there is confusion, if there's disorder, let's look at some of the causes of it, and then let's address it. And that's exactly what Paul was doing in this particular passage. Yeah. He was addressing the cause of the disorder, the confusion, the chaos that was happening in Corinth, and he was saying, here's how we're going to fix it. Plain and simple.
Plain and simple. I remember as a little kid in Sunday school, I had a wonderful lady teacher, and I thank God for her every day, because she pointed me as a little guy to Jesus, although I didn't come to him by faith until 33 years later. Wow, I remember Dorothy Kemp, and what a wonderful lady she was who taught us Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock, and the open lines are just abundant right now, so if you call now, you will get through, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, a question. You mentioned Louisville, Kentucky. Well, actually, this is from Sacramento. I'm sorry. KFI Jones wrote to us. He said, I thank you, gentlemen, for declaring the truth of the gospel each and every day. My question has to do with co-participation. Is there any role that we play in the process of being made like Christ? I understand that nothing I do will make God more happy with me, and nothing I do will separate me from his love. But what should I, as a believer, do who is wanting to pursue righteousness? What should I do with all of the lists from Paul and others? Put off this, have nothing to do with that, put this to death, and don't be like that, but rather, and he goes on, of course. Once coming into a relationship with him and he indwells me, should I simply sit back and do nothing or try nothing for fear of works? It's tricky to know if trying to abstain from sin is trying to earn God's pleasure or just participating in the work that he's doing. Take the common male struggle of lust of the eye and pornography as an example. What should one do? Accountability software? Simply pray? Get rid of the internet? Please advise. I listen every day and would appreciate your advice.
Well, I think that's a good question, and I'm certainly glad that he brought it down to a very practical application. How does the Christian life work in light of this, with one of these particular struggles? So the Christian life is this, by grace through faith in Jesus. That is the Christian life. So God initiates to us in Christ. We respond to him through faith. in Jesus Christ. We're trusting Jesus Christ to live his life through us, in and through us. Paul put it this way in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So who's the source of life? Jesus Christ himself. And then he goes on to say, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we are called to a life of faith. That's not doing nothing. That's not just sitting there twiddling your thumbs. Faith is a very active word. It's a present tense word. It's a response to God's initiation in your life. Now, as far as pornography and lust and those things are concerned, I think this by grace through faith lifestyle that God has called us to, it is going to direct us to do some specific things. So one, protect against the flesh. So if the flesh, here's just some good truth, some good practical truth. If your flesh has been gratified in a certain way, your flesh is always going to want to be gratified in that same way. There's nothing that you can do to change that. So let's just make it simple. If you've liked chocolate ice cream, you're always going to like chocolate ice cream. You may go on a diet. You may say, I'm going to not eat chocolate ice cream. And then somebody puts some chocolate ice cream right in front of you and you want it. You just desire it. Why? Because you've had it in the past. You like it. And you're always going to like it. You know, the first bite you put in your mouth, you're going to want to eat more and more and more. Well, now translate out that out to fleshly temptations. So if you've been trapped in pornography in the past, you've kind of escaped that. You've gone free from that. Your flesh still wants pornography. And if it's tempted in just the right way, you'll slip back into looking at pornography. So I think we need to protect against the flesh. This is just wisdom. This is just common sense.
Sure.
So we protect ourselves, and you and the Lord figure out what that looks like, what those boundaries look like for you. If you struggled with it by looking at the internet, then be careful with your use of the internet. If you've visited, places, strip bars or whatever it might be, and you just, one was on your route driving from work to home, and you would find yourself in the past turning left instead of right to go home, make sure you go a different route. These are just common sense things that can protect you. So if you don't see that, it's not going to be right there in front of you. Your flesh isn't going to respond to it. But if you're putting it right there in front of your flesh, time in and time again, it's going to be very difficult to withstand just using willpower.
Right.
So here's what the Bible says about sin: flee, run. That's the most spiritual thing that you can do. So if you truly believe that God knows best for you and he says to flee from temptation, what does faith do? Well, it runs so that the only thing temptation can see is elbows go back and forth. So just use your common sense there and realize the flesh isn't going to get better. The flesh isn't going to all of a sudden want to do godly things. That's not the nature of the flesh. The flesh is anti. It's against the things of the Spirit. There's that conflict. So if you put yourself kind of in the realm of the Spirit and guard against those things of the flesh, that conflict isn't going to be as strong. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jones, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Open lines, open lines again, 844-322-2742. Time on the clock, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we are getting down to the end of the year, and we, of course, made an appeal this past week to our listeners. As a matter of fact, for the last couple of months, we've made the appeal to our listeners of a certain amount of money that we need to make it on an even basis with the world, so to speak, at the end of the year. How are we doing on that?
Well, we still need almost 300,000, not quite 300,000, but that's what we talked about right before the Christmas break. and we need just underneath that, maybe $295,000 to break even for the year. You know, that seems like a whole lot of money.
But it's not.
It's not as far as God is concerned. And if a lot of listeners out there just step up to the plate and do something, we will get that need met.
Sure.
And that's what we're trusting the Lord to do, to work in the hearts of people. And one thing that I want to say about giving, as far as the grace of giving is concerned, there's this idea of free will giving. We just give according to what we want to give. Well, that's not how it works. It is always a response to the grace of God in a person's life. It is a by grace through faith in Jesus reality. That's what giving is. That's what every aspect of our life in Christ is. By grace through faith in Jesus. So as grace works in a person's heart, as far as giving is concerned, you respond by faith and step out and give. And you can know that the gift that you are giving has been motivated by the very Spirit of God, has been motivated by the very grace of God that has saved you, that has taken away your sins once and for all, that has given you life everlasting, that has given you a new identity. So you are responding to the work of God's Spirit in your life. When you give to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, to empower the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that's hurting and waiting, you can say, I'm doing so because God moved in me to do so.
Right.
And at that point, what a ministry that you're participating in. So we are trusting our listeners to respond to the move of God's Spirit in their lives and to step up and give to Basic Gospel, whether it's $50, whether it's $500, whether it's $5,000. That's between you and the Lord.
Right.
And so let the Lord move in your heart and then have the courage to step out in faith and give, because you know that God is going to use those dollars to reach somebody else,
Absolutely.
To connect them to the love of Christ, to work in their lives a desire to know Him and to be known by Him. So we're asking you to step up and give, to give generously as you respond to the work of God's Spirit in your life.
Absolutely. And as a byproduct of that, for any gift of any amount between now and the end of the month, Meet the Author will be yours. Of course, that's our Bible reading plan, and you can accomplish both tasks by going to our website, basicgospel.net. There you'll find a prominent Meet the Author link. We just ask you to click that link and make your gift, and we'll get that Meet the Author on the way to you. Again, that's at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to New Jersey and talk with Wayne, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Wayne.
How you doing? God bless you guys. You've done a wonderful job over there.
Well, thank you, my friend. What's on your mind?
My question is, how do we put on the whole armor of God and in order to fight the battle according to Ephesians chapter 6?
Well, Wayne, that's a really good question. The whole armor of God really rests upon Jesus Christ, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. All of those things are attached to Jesus, aren't they? The fact that Jesus saved you, the fact that because of Jesus, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. So there's no condemnation. The enemy wants to accuse you. But in Christ, there's no condemnation. So you stand in that truth that there is no condemnation, and that's going to protect you against the accusations of the enemy. He's going to accuse you about your salvation. How can you be a Christian? Well, we're only a Christian because we've been saved by grace through faith in Christ, because He's made us alive. So if you will look at that armor, you will recognize that all of it is tied to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And as the writer of Hebrews says, keep your eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of faith. That's where the victory is, my friend. Thanks for your call, Wayne. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed we do. And friends, don't forget to download the Basic Gospel app. Stay connected with the ministry day by day. And we also invite you to subscribe to our newsletter at basicgospel.net. Click subscribe on any page. Well, now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We're going to see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.